What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not a comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
All right, we're on.
I'm not worried.
Welcome to How to Not Comedy, man. This is I'm Ethan Bentley. We've got Andrew Paskin on today. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, mate. It's a perfect topic for me. I'm an expert on how to not do it.
Oh, shit, just smashed my knee. Yeah. Aren't we all?
You want to do that again?
Nah, fuck that. Once this thing's going, it's not stopping for an hour. Sometimes two. But that's all right, because we cut out most of the other shit. I usually do it with a co-host, my mate Mitch. I don't know if you've met him. He's like the short, chubby dude. Well,
that could be anybody.
Yeah, he does jokes. What's some of his jokes? Fucking, he's doing these bits at the moment about getting whooped as a kid, about how you should still
kids.
Yeah,
he's a good bloke.
Yeah, he is.
I like the guy.
But he usually comes on, but he's got a migraine or something today. He couldn't get out of bed.
Right.
Too many bongs, I reckon. But yeah. I'll have to carry this one, see how we go. So could go to fucking shit. If there's any dead air, we'll just fucking cut it out. Who cares? So you do a podcast as well yourself, you were saying.
Well, I've got two. I've got my main one is the Rugby League Digest, which is a rugby league history podcast featuring myself and historian Michael Adams. And that is about predominantly the Super League War. And it's really blowing up right now. Michael does all the research in forensic detail. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I just react to it like an average guy in the pub.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
It's a great synergy. And I'm putting my fingers together for the listeners. I'm so proud of this podcast. It's that great. So getting mad heat in the rugby league community.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So you're getting a fair few views and shit.
Yeah, we're up to about 4,000 an ep or something.
Damn, dude, you're killing it.
Yeah, man, it's such a niche topic.
What are you doing on here? This podcast is shit.
well, my one is much less. The Andrew Paskin podcast, a podcast about comedy and crime.
There's so many of them. It's so hard to fucking get the ball rolling.
I was ahead of the game on podcasting. It annoys me now that every man and his dog has got one, you know, especially like some specific in-joke where it's like... they've got a one-joke premise most of this podcast now. It's like, how the fuck are you going to 200 episodes with that, you dickhead?
Yeah, true. I've seen a few of those comedy ones.
I hate them.
Hey, some of them I'm a fan of, like Phone Hacks.
Oh, you're right. That's big, right?
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, Nick Kappa and Mike Goldstein. I love it.
Mike Goldstein is super funny.
Yeah, yeah. But their podcast is like you're saying, like one premise, basically.
That's repeatable, though. It's like...
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, when it's like... Steven Seagal movies from 1993.
Oh, okay. Very specific type of shit. Yeah, yeah. That falls flat pretty quick. But I don't know. I think keep it simple if you can. Like if you got something good that you know about, like for like your rugby league one.
Yeah.
Just stick to that and hammer it, and you run the risk the other way of like branching out too far and going into too much different shit.
Yeah.
Just trying to be like Johnny on the spot, you know what I mean? Like, next minute you're doing like Pokemon openings and shit like that, just trying to fucking doing Fortnite videos, whatever's viral.
But there was a tweet before I come on that I just retweeted. It was so funny. It was a chick saying, "If my generation's anything, it's two aspiring somethings really doing a podcast." Then these people won't even take a voicemail from their mother, but they'll expect people to listen to 2 hours of their bullshit. You know?
Yeah.
Which is so true.
I find that so weird, man. Yeah, I got mates that like social anxiety and shit like that. Like they won't take a phone call. You can text them all day, they'll reply, but you call them and they freak the fuck out. I don't understand it. But yeah.
I don't know if the social anxiety stuff is played up. I mean, isn't it just being a weirdo? Like... There's always been weirdos.
Yeah, I was one of them. Yeah. In primary school, especially. Didn't like other kids. Just kept to myself.
Well, that's probably why you're a comedian.
Yeah.
It's I find you quite personable.
Oh, now? Like, doing this for, like, I don't know how long we've been doing this podcast for now, but, like, having people come in and talk to them, helps a lot. And just doing comedy in general. Have you found the same sort of thing? Like...
I was always extroverted. I was always an outgoing type guy. I've actually become more ingoing.
Yeah, okay.
Being around comedy,
yeah,
just because of the psychos around. But the
more self introspection as well.
Yeah.
Like, have a good look at yourself after a nice bomb.
Oh, you need to have a look at yourself after after every event. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, well, that's like my co-host, Mitch. He was very, like, loud and fucking outgoing. And he started doing comedy. It's fucking quiet him down a bit.
But that's the worst type of when you've got those mates that are, like, funny in the garage, you know?
Yeah.
Having beers with the boys.
And then they get on stage and...
And then they think they can just do the, you got a big head stuff.
Yeah.
And then they bomb and then it quietens them down.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, I'm doing Mud and Dust comedy tonight.
What's that?
So it's these two dudes from out west and they're running like a comedy tour out west. They're doing a few gigs out there.
Great name.
Yeah. Awesome name. But that big head stuff, like that dumb fucking thing, like if you want to crowd work out in the country... If you do that to someone at a table, like, who's the fuck with the... That'll kill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every time. Like, you can murder out there with that shit.
But that only lasts a while. Like, you got to have something to say.
You know? Oh, yeah, exactly.
You got to have some sort of structure.
That's fucking crowd work in general, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, once you've... once the crowd's been worked, like, what else do you do?
Crowd work's such an interesting thing because it's a great skill. There's no two ways about it. And when you're in your MC, you've got to do it.
Yep.
And it took me ages to learn even minor, like I'm still shit at it, but just a minor, just to get by.
Yeah.
Just like an MC. Makes you a better comic, but then people go too far with it and just do like all crowd work. And I'm in the moment, I'm doing crowd work, but the audience is like, and I can tell people what I do for a job anytime. Like,
yeah.
Tell me some of your thoughts on the fucking world.
That's right. Like once, like I was saying, like once it's been done too, you can't really work them again. It was like something I was reading where it was saying like don't step on the headliner with that.
Yeah.
Like if you you're up
it
before them,
the shit out of them.
Yeah, and like because the headliner wants to do like work the crowd as well. But sometimes I've been to open mics where the crowd doesn't get touched.
Yeah.
Like the MC just does bits.
And that's the other way. That's the way I used to be. You just do bits, and then they're not feeling like they're part of it.
Yeah, they're not part of the show.
There's a wall between them, and so. It's a happy medium, but most headliners are, you know, this is a bad generation, but a lot of headliners are hacky, so they're doing a lot of crowd work.
Yeah.
And it's good, you know, it's a good comedy technique to, you know, ingratiate yourself to them.
Yeah, but you don't want
to
rely on
it. So you can't fucking exhaust the crowd for them. Yeah. And then you can't do, like, 50 rape jokes in front of them either. 50 sex jokes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just bomb the crowd out with fucking... nuclear punchlines.
Yeah, especially not before a headliner goes on. Well, I don't know. If they're a good headliner, they're going to kill anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, it just annoys them.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's what it is. Fucking learning how to do it.
Yeah.
Shit happens. So, I think I met you at a Babylon Bar when Heggie was on.
Yeah.
Both pretty... into the beers.
Yeah, I know. You've got me on a day when I've decided to quit drinking again.
Nice.
Quit drinking and coffee on the same day. That's been 2 days ago.
So that's the black tea.
Yeah. So you've got me on the you've got me on the recovery now.
This is on the health kick. Yeah. No, that's good, man. I'm proud to be a part of that. That's sick. I'm doing this 100 days of health with Cabba. I don't know if you know Cabba.
Cabba's a great bloke.
Yeah,
love Cabba.
Sick dude. Mm. He's doing 100 days of health, and I was going to do chin ups like every day, just 20 chin-ups a day. I was like, yeah, I can handle that. And then I smashed my finger at work, like I crushed my knuckle. And I was like, yeah, no more chin-ups.
Well, what can you do? You could do, you need your hands for everything and weights, don't you, really?
Yeah.
You can do squats, there you go.
That's it. 20 squats a day. Start working on my fucking chicken legs. That's why I can't be in, like rugby league and shit, man. I've got no idea. I'm not built for it.
Well, nor am I, but I mean, I've always loved it.
You're a pretty big dude, though. Like,
yeah, I was always skinny as a rake until I was about 28.
All right.
I was like a lollipop.
Yeah, okay.
Giant head, rake body.
You grew into your head.
Yeah. I've grown past the head now.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that to happen. Maybe one day.
How old are you now?
29.
29? You look about fucking 14.
Yeah, I know. It's fucked, isn't it?
No, it's good.
I reckon it's going to all hit me at once.
You'll be a handsome 40-year-old.
Yeah, maybe. But I reckon all the durries I smoked in my 20s and all the bongs and all the acid is just going to hit me like a train. It's coming this year, I reckon. Turn 30 this year. I'm fucked.
Wow, you look good for 29, mate.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. Me and my partner, Shaz, if you met her, she does photography
around the venues and shit. Always gets me at a good angle after I order her to do so.
But
with fear in my eyes.
Yeah. She's older than me.
Is she? Yeah. She looks good too.
Looking young. I thought she was like a young girl when I met her.
I'm looking around the podcasting room and there's a lot of anime figurines.
Oh, yeah. This is from a trip to Japan. So me and my brother went over there. You obviously heard the bit that I do. But he went nuts over there and just started buying anime figurines. Because they've got all these claw machines over there. I don't know if you've ever been to Japan.
I have been to Japan, yeah. Love it.
So all those arcades and stuff. Like, I liked Dragon Ball Z as a kid, but I wouldn't fucking buy thousands of dollars worth of anime figurines for it.
I love Japan because I speak Japan from high school. I speak Japan. I speak Japanese from high school.
Japan good.
Can I speak it good like weekend? So I went there to test my Japanese skills.
Right.
Couldn't understand a word.
Going way too fast?
They can understand me, but I couldn't understand. They were going so fucking fast.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, slower, please, you know?
Yep.
And they're slowing it down. Still can't hear them.
Yeah. Crazy. Because, I understand some basic fucking Japanese words, but the way that they speak it is just so fluent.
I guess
is the term for it. But, yeah, it just happens so quick. And you're like, what the fuck? I caught, just that first part of it. And you're like, oh, sort of understand what's going on. Even if you just know the name for something. And, dumb Aussie guy would say it konnichiwa.
Yeah.
And they're like, konnichiwa. And you're like, what the fuck was that? Yeah, yeah. Like, I got half, just a little bit. Or you're on the train trying to get somewhere and they call the name of a station and it
the train's
lightning
the worst.
Fast. And you're like, where the fuck?
But the funniest thing about Japan is they're so high tech and everything in technology. And they've got 19 different private rail companies competing against each other in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Using paper tickets.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost an old punch computer style, mm-hmm. with the holes in the tickets, right?
Yeah, when you go through the machines, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the whole country is run on this high-tech thing, except for the trains, which run perfectly on time, but it's all paper tickets and so confusing.
I kind of like it. I keep them all when I go
It was, it really shocked me.
Yeah. There's that JR pass you can get.
Yeah.
Japanese rail pass. That'll get you pretty much everywhere. But I don't know how that one works, though, because, if they're all different competing companies, do they all just accept?
It's just a group co-op thing, I think.
Right, okay. So it's not capitalist fucking over here. They're all fighting each other for...
Did you go on the bullet train when you were there?
Yeah.
How good is that?
Yeah. What's it called? The Shinkansen or something like that.
Shinkansen, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like shit can always.
Yeah. Though. Fucking awesome, though.
Yeah.
Because I went snowboarding out there, so I caught it.
Sapporo?
Hakaba.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we went from Narita. Is it Narita? Yeah. Into, caught the Shinkansen, all the way out there. Because the time before, we were because it's a fair bit of money to go on that train. It's not cheap.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's 100 plus a ticket.
And nor should it be.
No, not
for 500 Ks an hour.
Yeah, it's fucking insane. But it's like being on an aeroplane. I guess it's like a plane ride,
except quieter than a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, and we fucked up because we were dumb and we thought we'll take the bus from Narita to Tokyo all the way out there, 10-hour fucking bus ride.
Yeah, yeah.
This is fucked. We got in at 3 a.m. and then 4 hours sleep. Got up and we're like, oh, I guess I'm snowboarding today. It just felt like shit for 2 days.
I've not skied or anything there, but I mean, I heard the snow is amazing in Japan.
Yeah, it's usually pretty good. 2019, when I went over before COVID, we got to Hakaba and there was no snow. There was snow on the mountain, but usually it's like up to this roof, 3 meters of powder just piled up. And we're going through the town and usually all the rice fields are just covered in snow and they were just bare, just mud. What the fuck is going on here?
How'd you ski?
This is some global warming shit. This is fucked. So there was one resort called Goyu that had some snow on it. So we went there the first day. And then that night, it just bucketed down snow.
Lucky.
Yeah. And they were like, this is the first snow of the season. Holy fuck, I've timed this well. Because I didn't even think to check. Usually I check Like if I go down to like Jindabyne and go to Perisher, I'll check the snow report for like a month, every day before I go down.
I've got to say, that's pretty lax planning.
Yeah.
Didn't get the bullet train. So dumb. Yeah. Didn't check the snow.
Well, that year we did take the bullet train.
Did you press record on the podcast?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
I've never failed to press record, but we have left a mic off before.
I've done that. I've done both.
You fucked that up. We've fucked up the input. So instead of having like the line for this, we had the laptop speaker recording one time. Oh, that was fucking great.
Yeah.
And then another one we had when we were doing it via USB. Instead, we didn't have the mixer yet. We were plugging in headphones and shit. These speakers have a USB in. And the headset had like one of the gaming microphones on the side of it. So it started recording that as well as this. And it just sounded fucked. Oh, well. Live and learn. Yeah. So when I was talking to Heggy when we were at the at Babylon, he was saying that you're the biggest piece of shit Sydney comedian that he knows.
What a lovely review.
Yeah. Was this is there any stories to like substantiate?
Well, I think he just means that I'm a great comic. That's why he's jealous of my abilities, I'd say. No, I'm just out there. I just do whatever I feel like.
Fair enough.
Probably to do with alcohol consumption and mouthing off and, you know, being rather promiscuous with the ladies, that type of stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. As we all are. That it happens in the comedy scene. Everyone.
No, I mean, people. Not within the comedy scene.
Oh, yeah. You.
I like attractive women.
Oh, shit. You've just annihilated half of our audience. I'm just kidding. Girls don't listen to this.
Well, I mean, the men are no oil paintings, let's face it.
Yeah, that's true. I try and stay the fuck out of it. Like, I've got a partner for starters, so no worries there. But if I was single, I would just fucking not.
It's the dumbest thing ever, because, both sides of the fence. I mean, you're dealing with narcissists, you're dealing with delusional psychos, you're dealing with, you know, there's just dramas left, right, and center.
Yeah. And then, if something bad happens with someone, then you got to show up to nights where they're going to be there. That's like, that's a good rule. That's a how to not comedy thing. Don't fuck with your co-workers. It's essentially what they are, like people that come to gigs and shit. So, yeah. in terms of fucking fuck-ups lately, I can't think of heaps. I was offered a spot at the Wicco the other night. You were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you reckon of that night? Because you went on late, didn't you?
I was on last, yeah. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, nice.
It's, that pub's sort of open air, like, you've got the back pergola area, so people are half out there, half in. If you could lock them in, it'd be better, but...
Yeah, that's exactly right. I reckon as soon as that door closes, like the main sliding door, then it just becomes heaps better.
Yeah.
That gets closed in the second half.
Comedy and the atmosphere do not mix.
No.
It needs a closed area.
Yeah. Open space-wise. That's fucked. Yeah, last time, I didn't accept the spot because last time I was on at the Wicco, I fucking bombed so bad. It was fucking horrible. I'm not keen to go back there yet.
Because they're locals.
Yeah, no, because just that night was pretty dead. And it was just comedians.
You can't help that. Like, yeah. I mean, don't worry about that.
I mean, oh, yeah. I learnt this lesson the hard way, which is like...
It's going to happen regularly, so don't worry about it.
Just do your fucking jokes. Like, even if it's just comedians that have heard it 100 times, just fucking do it.
If it's just comedians, try and do something in the moment as well.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah, for sure. I tried that. That failed. And then... I was like, I don't even want to do my jokes. So I sort of half-assed them.
Well, you've been at the one in Sydney called Crown Comedy?
I haven't been yet. I'm keen to go.
Well, it's like the lowest on the rung, right? And it's basically just comedians and a couple of like randoms off the street.
Yeah.
And it's like people just starting and potheads and Darrows and just sort of weird, just a real down and out vibe.
Yeah.
And the guy who runs it's a great bloke, Gav, his name is.
Yeah, Gav Scott's. Yeah, fucking,
legend he's a champ. And it's just so laid back. Anyone can get on. Totally fucking, open to everybody.
Yeah.
So you get on there and you just you can just riff and talk to these young comics or whatever, and you're not going to find out whether a bit's going to work or not, but you can just say whatever you want. It's really good.
Yeah, gives you that just that stage time.
Yeah, so they're going to laugh. They're going to laugh at like the dark shit, and they're not going to laugh at like in a Seinfeld style stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like it's not really a good gauge, but
oh, for sure, that's like Sticks and Stones as well.
Yeah, so that room. I haven't done it yet, but I heard about it. But
yeah,
it's just good to have a variety.
It's certainly different.
Mm.
But yeah, jaded comics. I mean, there's a certain way you can play to them that you know that they're going to... It's kind of like anti-comedy you got to do if you want to crush in that room.
Well, let's talk about anti-comedy because I fucking hate anti-comedy with a passion.
Do you?
With a passion.
All right, let's get into it.
I think it's the most... it's the weakest cop-out ever, anti-comedy.
It's like, I'm not even going to try because then I can't fail.
Well, if you went and saw a band and the guy was going, look at this guitar, boom, 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 boom. Like,
yeah,
what am I fucking wasting my time here for?
Yeah.
If you think comedy's so dumb, why are you doing it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I hate it so much. I mean, occasionally there's some funny ones, right?
Yeah.
And they all look up to Sam Simmons, this fucking pedophile-looking dipshit.
He's on that... That last one laughing,
what an embarrassment that was. You see Simmons, man, he pulled out some props from his fucking suitcase and stuck them up his ass. It was so funny. Was it?
Yeah. Fuck. It's making me laugh, thinking about Sam Simmons shoving stuff up his ass. But
I think it went up his ass as a shotgun. Double barrel. Two buckshots.
Yeah, I don't know. He does have that creepy pedo look, doesn't he?
They all do. All the anti-comics do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not a face for comedy, I guess.
Well, no, but I mean, I think the uglier the better for comedy.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I reckon, like, if you want to get, like, fucking into the stratosphere of, like, fame and comedy, you got to at least have some sort of, like...
Well, Louis C.K. is not exactly fucking the money racer.
True, but we know what happened to him.
Well, that was just... It could happen to anybody.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, I'm
jacking off in front of chicks, you know.
I guess it's because, like, most people that are super famous in comedy also do movies. And to do movies, you've got to be at least somewhat...
Presentable.
Presentable, yeah. Like, Louis C.K. is not being in a... He's not like Kevin Hart. He's not going to be in, like, fucking Jumanji or some shit like that.
Yeah, Kevin Hart's pretty good looking.
Louis C.K. in Jumanji would just be unhappy to be there. but...
It depends what you want out of comedy. If you want to be like, a presenter on the panel, what's it called? The project.
Yeah.
Going back to my youth now, the panel. Then you've got to be like good looking or inoffensive looking.
True. Although Peter Hellier's on the project and he looks like shit.
Yeah, he was one of the original.
Yeah.
he was the funny guy in inverted commas back then, you know.
Yeah.
I like Peter Hellier though.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I think at the Glebe show, was it the Mic in Hand? When that was running? Yeah. He used to come along to there sometimes.
Did he really?
Yeah. Claire Hooper used to drop in.
Any comedians? Well. Or?
Yeah, Nick Kappa used to do spots there.
Kappa's good.
Yeah. Legend. Oh, man. But yeah, now, like the project, it's fucking garbage. I don't know. I know Heggie's done it. There's been a few comics on it.
Well, you got to do it. I mean, like, not doing it is dumb, because, like, if you want to sell tickets...
Oh, for sure.
But, I mean, everyone knows what it is.
It's so politically correct.
The worst part is that when they have an issue... They finally are talking about an issue on there, right? And there's an actual issue in the news, and they go, that's a tough one. I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah.
Not touching that. Nope. And they all have a bit of a giggle.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what the fuck are you on TV for if you're not touching it, you dumb fucks?
Yeah, exactly. That's like most comedians. Like, they'll have an opinion on something. Was this Patrice... documentary I'm pulling this from, pretty sure, how he's like saying that, like, if most comedians, like, a hot topic issue, like, you ask them about something,
an immediate opinion,
but
is that good or bad? They haven't actually thought about it, you know.
Oh, well, that's because most of them, I assume, have thought about it,
right, and thought of
like an angle on it.
Yeah.
Like most shit, like this fucking Mr. Potato Head bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
You heard about this?
Mr.
Potato Head's cancelled.
It's now, what is it, Person Potato Head?
Just Potato Head, I guess. Oh, right. I don't know. But fuck, I need to do a bit on it. It reminded me. This is the segment of the show where we go on about bits that we're thinking of. But fucking my mate, well, yeah, my mate, he had a story. His friend in Lithgow, he was like building this potato cannon, and they're at a party and they've fucking set it off and it hasn't gone off. And so they just sort of like, forgot about it. They're all drinking. They left the potato cannon over on the grass. Like half an hour later, this guy comes over and fucking goes to inspect it. Look, what's wrong with the potato cannon? Looks down the barrel and it fucking goes off. And like, fucking potato in his brain, like trip to hospital. They're like picking potato out of his brain. And the first thing I thought of was like, oh, now he's Mr. Potato Head. Now I can't say it because that's fucking offensive.
Well, I mean, it's getting to the point now when there's going to be two groups of people. People that live in reality and people that live in a fucking fantasy world.
Yeah.
And then because of the internet, you can just have your audience as people that live in reality.
Mm.
And these psychopaths can just sit around and monitor a fence with each other, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, it's a big fucking issue. Like, I don't give a fuck what people want to do. Like, as long as you're not forcing other people to do shit.
Yeah.
Like, to yeah.
It's so, the arrogance to, like, force your beliefs on other people. It's just fucking
invasion. Yeah.
It's just like Bible bashing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, with all pronouns and shit, like, don't get me wrong. If people want to, like, ask me to address them as, like, they, them or whatever, I've got no issue. It's just, if I fuck it up, like, don't fucking cancel me. Because I fucked it up.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fuck up. Like, I might look at someone and, yeah, assume their fucking pronoun. But, like, why would you get upset if I did? You just go, oh, yeah, actually, my name, like, I prefer this.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal
People
at all.
Fucking blow it way out of proportion. There was like, yeah, there's, oh, I don't know. Comedy gets so fucking niche and, like, little groups form off and people get all fucking backstabby.
Well, what you'll notice in comedy is that the unfunny people worry about this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like offense and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the actual funny people that is out there, you know, making some art, having their opinions heard.
Yeah.
Doing something for themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to make people laugh, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. You got to take risks. That's what people do, especially when they're starting out. Like, fuck, I used to do like, this trans bit when I started out, it was fucking shit because it was a start out bit. But like, yeah, someone got real offended by that one.
If who cares? Like, it's yeah. like.
But I was trying to be funny.
That's right.
I wasn't trying to be hurtful.
It's. I mean, it's better to get some chops up before you start doing what do they call them? Touchy subjects.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was you don't I know fell that, down. You don't know that when you start.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're so enamored with this like. Freedom of expression thing with stand-up, but the purity of stand-up that you want to get into that sort of stuff early.
Mm. Yeah.
And people want to like sit there with a notepad and fucking try and bring you down. It's like, oh, yeah. what a wonderful life you must have.
Yeah, no, it doesn't help anyone. Doesn't help the scene. Just fucking encourages people to leave, really.
It's such a, it's people that in comedy that got bullied at school that now have some sort of power via cliques and stuff like that they want to exercise. That's a form of bullying, really.
It is.
They want to like exert power over people.
Yeah.
That's their thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, they'll never make it anywhere because they're not funny people. They're just like angry people, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is a form of bullying. There's the same in, I follow like these fire performance groups. So like
fire.
Yeah, like fire eating, fire breathing.
Oh, right.
Like performance art that way. And there was all this stuff lately about like cultural appropriation and like calling people out for it because someone's like doing like fire breathing. And
well, who was the original fire breather?
Yeah, I don't know. But
wasn't it Ricky the Dragon Steamboat?
Yeah.
WWF.
But fucking there was all this stuff because they do a lot of costume work, right? So like this one girl's wearing like an Indian headdress while she's breathing fire. And like the girl's quite tan as well. And she's like, I have like background. I'm like, she was like Maori or something like that. And she's like, so yeah, like talking about like someone called her out for like cultural appropriation for wearing an Indian headdress.
But what about every chick that goes to India to do yoga?
Yeah.
Like, what's that?
Yeah. I don't know. There's like a difference between appropriation and appreciation, apparently. And I'm like, man, like, I don't know. Are you really going to die on this hill? Like, you're going to defend a hat that bad? Because apparently it's like, oh, only the chieftains get to wear those hats. And it's like a symbol of war and like what they've achieved and shit. It's like, that fucking happened ages ago.
I used to wear a black White Sox hat in 91 with baggy jeans because I like NWA, but I didn't go shooting up Compton.
Yeah. No, that's because you weren't committed enough to the bit. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's crazy. That got made into a big thing about this girl. Some other girl was calling her out and being like, you can't do this. You can't wear this fucking headdress.
See,
but it was good because everyone turned around on this chick that was calling her out, started calling her a bully for saying that this chick's doing cultural appropriation. She's like, what? Why are you putting her on blast, like putting her name everywhere, saying everyone should name and shame her? So it was really good to see, actually.
Well, it'll come back in the future decades. I look back on this era as like these people as being malignant narcissists that want to like call people out,
yeah,
rather than look after their own backyard. It's like they'll be, you know what I mean? Like it'll the type of people that do that will never be anything because it's bringing people down is their only skill.
Well, you've got so much time and energy to use while you're fucking alive.
Yeah.
Are you going to use all that time and energy just shitting on other people, just being a critic, bringing them down? Or are you going to try and go out and fucking make something?
I always think, that's right. Are you creating anything or are you tearing shit down?
Yeah.
But it's, I always think about like the grandkids of these people that go through their nana's Twitter feed and go yeah. like, Nana was a real fuckwit. Like,
yeah.
Nana was against every issue there ever was. It's like,
yeah.
But then Nana used to be a real bitch to us, you know, in real life. But online, yeah. Online, she seems to be so virtuous.
The hypocrisy. It's so good too, because the people that are doing all calling out, they're scumbags, just like the rest of us. They have their own faults, and then they form these little groups. That's like everyone's all doing good, and then someone slips up.
It's funny, I'm so happy with narrow casting. You find your audience online, that type of thing.
Yeah.
With your little niche and everything. But it's dangerous for society because there's no group shared experiences anymore. So everybody's in their own little bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got the fire-breathing communities up in arms against each other. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. They put a pin in that. They sorted that shit out real quick. And they're like, while we must remain... like open to discussion, we can't be fucking attacking each other.
Well, that's right. We need to get back to pouring accelerants down our throats and lighting them up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about, man. Yeah, fucking funny bunch. But I don't know. You get these people everywhere in everything these days. But that's why it's good to like. Well, I don't know about this podcast. I don't think it'd generally go well for like a general audience, but. Being able to expose it out there, like I'll chuck this on subreddits and stuff like that where I think it might do all right.
You'll be surprised about people listening to this type of stuff. The average person is sick about the phoniness online.
Yeah.
Like even from the Instagram lives, you know, Facebook, virtue signaling, Twitter, all that sort of shit. People are sick with it. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
People just want real reality. They don't want phoniness.
Yeah, some people though are just still so locked into that, like locked into their phone and Instagram and shit. Like they're not gonna. That's just their world. Like they're just part of it. I was at this fucking party last night at this place called Milky Lane at the end of Derby Street.
I know Milky Lane.
Yeah, and the girls there that are working there are like doing these Instagram stories and shit while they're at work. It's like all like about promoting it, shit yeah, like yeah. that. I'm just like, fuck that, like. I couldn't do it.
It's that's the worst thing about comedy now is promoting yourself online.
Yeah, you got to do all that shit. Like one guy that's fucking great at it is Kyle Legacy. Like he's always posting shit, man. Kyle. Yeah,
he's got the best energy in comedy.
Yeah, he does.
He's got no jokes, but great energy.
Yeah, actually, that's another. We're talking about crowd work, not having jokes.
He's an exception because he does it so well.
He does do it so well, but. Feel like if he's going to get a headline spot, somewhere. Like, how does he do that?
The funny thing is,
he just crushed for fucking an hour just on crowd work. I want to see it. I've only ever seen him MC. I want to see him. If he ever does an hour show around here, I'm fucking coming to it.
If he gets on stage and goes, I'm going to just ask questions. I'm going to talk to the crowd. All these people doing their Jay Leno bits. It's fucking stupid. I'm doing the crowd work.
What did he say? Joke shit. Jokes are for cruise ships and pussies.
In a way, he's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you just have jokes and you can't do crowd work, it's just as much of a crutch of just having crowd work and not doing jokes.
But my favorite thing about Legacy is you ask whatever job someone does and he never knows what the job is, no matter how, like...
Yeah, it's kind of the bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go, someone goes, I'm a baker. He's a baker? What's that then?
Yeah,
I'm a heart surgeon. What do you do with the heart?
Yeah,
you're surgeon. Yeah,
yeah. It was very clever watching him work. You're like, fuck. He's got it figured out. He's got something figured out. Well, it's like some sort of like format to it.
Well, it's an easy preparation for the gig. You just choose your basketball singlet, put that on, and then go out and you're ready. No preparation, no writing.
That's it. Fucking killing it. Anyway, have you had any fucking horror stories lately with comedy?
No, I'm getting really jack of Sydney comedy. It's like, it's so unfunny.
Mm.
It's like, I've just been doing a few little bits with in my mate's room. I'm not going to network with like dipshits anymore.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I'm really excited about doing some YouTube stuff and, you know, these podcasts. Like, it's stuff where I can control everything.
Yeah.
That's what I love.
And that stuff, like, in all honesty, if you crack into that, you're going to go a lot further.
Yeah, well, you're only going to perform 30 people a night.
In
rooms, but it's still the best thing.
It's good to do that. It's so good to do that because it makes you so much better.
You got to keep doing stand-up.
Yeah.
No two ways about it, but it's like what goes along with that.
Yeah.
Like the networking and the narcissists and the cliques and the fucking bullying and...
I just try not to be a fuckwit. I'm like, if there's a spot, I'll come and do a spot. I'll hang around till the end of the show.
Yeah,
be nice, chat to people.
Well, Newcastle is such a refreshment since I moved back up here. It's such a great scene up here. I don't know the people too well, so I don't know if there are the little cliques and everything. But everyone seems quite supportive. And
yeah, generally we are. Yeah,
yeah.
At least in this section, there's like another section of other people that are sort of doing their own PC comedy shit.
Oh, right.
But I think that'll probably die in the ass pretty quickly.
Well, I'm only doing Eddie's rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people all around them seem cool.
Yeah, Eddie pretty much just runs the open mics around here at the moment.
Yeah, right.
We got one starting at the Prince Hotel.
At Merriweather?
Yeah. So that'll be upstairs, that first one. That's me and Mark Beatty.
Sweet.
Running that one. And that'll be on the 1st of April is the first one there.
That
April
used to Fools. Be Daniel Johns' local back in 97.
There you go. I had no idea. It's good to have that sort of shit going in. Like, if you are doing a venue like that.
Mm.
Like, we did the Adam Ronan, the biggest piece of shit comic in Newcastle. He organised a event at the Boat Rollers Hotel at Stockton.
Never been there.
Don't go. It's fucking awful. It was so bad. It was good. It was like a hell gig, but it was like worth 10 gigs in one.
Right.
You learnt that much. But just having like a fact about the pub before going in, like I researched the Boat Rollers and I'm like, well, this place got held up by a fucking guy at gunpoint like a year ago. And Adam thought it was a good spot to do comedy. I'm like, fucking hell. So I like talked about that, and like as soon as I mentioned it, they were like, oh, this guy knows about that. Oh, he knows, like he gives a shit. Sort of.
That's a really good technique if you do road gigs. Like, I remember doing one in Goulburn last year before the corona.
Yeah.
And on the way, there was like a weird-sounding suburb or something, like half an hour out of town, and I mentioned that. And
if you can
do something related to them
up front, brings them in.
It brings them right in.
Yeah,
that's almost like crowd work times 10.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the old trick of you do a gig in one place, and then you travel 2 hours and then you shit on that place.
Yeah, well, that's like real hack, but it's like, place. It works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. And then you go from that place to the next place, shit on it. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's comedy 101 right there to get the crowd on side. This this gig tonight's gonna be fucking interesting at Singleton.
Oh yeah.
Through Mud and Dust. It's gonna be
Singleton's quite big, they might get a big crowd there.
Yeah. Well, apparently this one's booked out.
Well, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're selling tickets or if it's a free show or what the go is, but I got 4 minutes, so I'm gonna fucking bring it.
4 minutes?
Yeah.
It's an arbitrary time.
Yeah. I'll be completely transparent with these fucking guys too. When I asked them about doing the gig at Singleton, because they were like, oh, we've got open mic spots available. They're like, oh, we're doing like 4 other gigs like out west, out near like Dubbo and like surrounding towns, like an hour maybe around Dubbo.
Mm.
They're like, if you come out and do one of these gigs, we'll guarantee you a spot at Singleton.
Right.
And I'm like, so I have to travel 4 hours, fuel and accommodation, to do an open mic for 4 minutes out there to guarantee a spot for 4 minutes in fucking Singleton.
I love that. It's commitment. It's like, great commitment.
I was like, no way. No way am I doing that. I was like, nah. I was like, if there's a spot that comes up, let me know. Otherwise, all good. Like, Singleton's far enough for me anyway. Like, for a 4 minute spot for free. Like, I'm going out there for free to do this spot. I'm like, if a spot comes up, I'll drive out. But otherwise, no. No fucking way am I driving 4 hours to bumfuck west to secure a 4 minute open mic spot in Singleton. You fucking crazy? Like,
well, Singleton's a long enough drive.
But some people will do it. They'll fucking do it. But props to them if you're that committed. But like, yeah. I had to work and shit. I'm like, I can't do it. There's no way. I'm not bending over.
It's so hard when you're in like a regional area for comedy.
Yeah, it would be hard to get people to come out there and do open mic spots. So I can see what they're doing. Like, I can see from their point of view, like, they want to encourage people to come out further west and do spots. The way that you do that, though, I think, is you pay people.
Yeah.
Like, you have, because you've got a small town there. There's a couple hundred people that want to see comedy in the town of like a few thousand. Like, get them in, charge them $20 a ticket, and then just dole that out, and that pays for people's fuel and accommodation to come out that far and yeah, maybe do 10-minute spots.
Well, this is why Australian comedy is so embarrassing, because you got inner-city comedy, which is unwatchable.
Mm.
It's just a lecture on PC fucking norms.
Just awful.
Then you got country comedy, which is just fucking the hackiest shit ever.
Yeah.
There's nothing in between.
Yep.
And it's like, it's never going to get any better, because there's people aren't working for the whole country, sort of thing.
That's why I like Newcastle, man. I think we are the in-between a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. We're not, like, if you do, like, complete hack shit here, like, people are, like, big enough fans of comedy, like, know well enough that, like, oh, that sucks. And, like, if someone, like, steals bits and shit like that, like, people know straight away.
Yeah, that's good.
And if you're, like, just making fun of people's fat heads and shit, you're like, what the fuck is this? But if you do like the PC rant here and like try and be like that sort of shit, you'll also cop it.
I'll just write that in my notebook. Fat heads.
Work on that. Well, the guys that do like Comedy Detour, James Connors.
I love him. He's funny.
Yeah, he's a mad dude. Alan Brady did it.
Brady's cool.
Yeah, and I'll just mention them two names because. For the story, but they did a gig out west somewhere. I don't know if it was like Muscle Brook or somewhere else that was fucked. Where was it? Griffith. It was Griffith.
Right.
So sort of like, not heaps far out west, but like enough that it was fucked. And they were all dying. And Steve White was there too. Like, he's like a sort of bogan sort of look to him, like, where's a flannel? He's from Scone. So
right. They're
like his people, and they're like, oh, if he does well, we'll be all right. But then everyone's bombing, and Brady has to go up at the end of the night and just do that crowd work shit that we were talking about, where it's just like, oh, that guy's a fuckwit, oh, and just like that hacky stuff. He's like, that's just what they wanted. And you're like, he killed doing it.
I said, I'd rather not do comedy if that was it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
The whole thing about what's being original, it's like hacks are like, what are people buying? So okay, that's what I'm selling now.
Yeah,
so that to me is just,
well, it's pandering,
untenable.
Yeah, but I guess if you're doing one of those gigs, you got to pander a little bit to get them on side.
Yeah.
And then you can sort of talk about what you want to talk about.
But if it's, if you're just talking to a room full of fuckwits, yeah, it's like,
well, they're not going to listen anyway.
What's the point? What's
like, yeah. Yeah. And that's what that fucking boat rollers gig was at Stockton. It was just a room full of fuckwits that didn't want to listen to bits.
Well, they say never blame the audience, right?
Mm.
And if you're a professional comedian, you should be able to work around that. And that's true.
Yeah.
If you're a cruise ship comedian, you should be able to. But yeah, it's like, I'd rather fucking die than be that.
I'd like to be able to work it out. Like, if I could figure out a way to kill in any fucking venue. But, like, you got to be real good. And you're never going to have, like, that niche sort of thing. You know what I mean? You're not going to carve that audience out. If you're always trying to be the chameleon and fit in wherever the fuck you go.
Exactly.
Well, so you got to pick one or the other.
Definition of a hack. I mean, that's why the Comedy Gala is so embarrassing to watch. It's just like, I want to cover everybody with the least offensive shit.
Yeah, bland, stale fucking comedy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Some people are just like that, man. Like, if that's truly who someone is as a person, just a bland, stale person, well, I know a fair few people.
No, 100%.
They're just like, in many got nothing going on.
Yeah, in many ways, if you're that vacuous, that's you being true to the art form.
Yeah, it is. 100%. And those people fucking kill because they're being true to themselves. They're out there living their best lives. You're like, ugh.
I've got a manufactured story about me going to the laundromat with no punchlines, but that's just me, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, fuck. And then if people like that did like the Crown, like at Lewisham, came in with that shit, people would be like throwing up in their mouths. Like, this is fucked.
Why isn't he talking about fucking someone, some homeless guy in the arse?
Yeah. Which is my type of humour. I love it. Oh, fuck. It's hard to carry this podcast without the fucking co-host here.
You're doing a good job, I thought.
Thanks, man. Getting there.
Not too much dead air.
No, we've been going fucking solid for 46 minutes. And now I'm running out of shit to think about. I had something I was going to say.
Well, why did you get into the comedy game? Were you a stand-up fan?
Yeah, 100%.
Who were you into when you were young?
George Carlin.
You were a Carlin guy?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's good.
Big Carlin guy. Love him. Bill Hicks as well.
Mm.
So Carlin, Hicks, and Stanhope are like my top three.
If you like Hicks, you're liking Stanhope, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you watch that Beige Frequency thing on Stanhope special?
Beige Frequency?
Beige Frequency is this guy on YouTube that does all these like hatchet mentories. He's
like porcelain.
Yeah, type. Just like porcelain.
Yeah.
So he smashes Brendan Stanhope? Schwab and those sort of guys.
Yeah, okay.
But then he said he loves Stanhope, so he did a positive one. I mean, he really did a good analysis of Stanhope.
Damn, I want to see someone take the hatchet to Stanhope. Because what are you going to attack?
Well, he hatches himself.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, yeah, he does. Stanhope does. Like, yeah, it's like kicking a dead horse. There's no. What are you going to kill?
But all those guys are from what? They peaked in like the early 2000s at the latest. Mm. There's not many any great ones since.
That's what I mean. Like, I fucking hate it, man. There's no one else to watch. Like, and it upsets me because it's like that's my favorite type of comedy. Like Louis, I guess, is a bit in that vein.
That's over with now.
He's pretty much done. Like, and even Louis, like, he's not doing the same shit as Stanhope.
Bo's not as funny now as since he got rich.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as they start going to cigar bars and like scotch bars, then you're like, oh, these guys have lost their edge.
Yeah, yeah, they've made it. Now you don't want to upset the apple cart.
Getting back on the
fufu. And why would you? Like, fuck, if I do it, I'm going to sell out. I'll be a hack. I don't give a fuck. I know I would. I know what I'm like. Fucking dangle those dollar bills in front of someone's face. But that's Patrice. Like, absolutely fucking hated it. Would just self-sabotage because he didn't want that money so that they could fucking put a leash on him.
Yeah. I think he overplays that a little bit. I think it's like he's just an arsehole. You know?
Yeah. That's his excuse for being an arsehole. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I didn't want to cave into their demands.
Because like most of that doco is just him bullying people.
Yeah.
I was a gigantic Tough Crowd fan.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how I got into Patrice, but him and Geraldo on that.
Yeah.
DiPaolo on that.
I got in through Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
I used to watch or listen to a lot of that.
I only got into that late when it was done, like on the YouTube clips.
Right, when it's like but then already on the way out.
I got into the Opie and Anthony subreddit through a mate.
Oh, what a shithole that is.
Yeah, yeah. It's been
such... Everyone just hating fucking Opie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the darkest of dark humor. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I used to just look at it and you feel dirty after reading it, but
yeah.
I used to read that and it made me laugh. But and then you find out what a piece of shit Anthony is and
oh, the worst.
Yeah. So it's like
just a heinous racist.
Yeah, but I mean pedophile as well.
Yeah, yeah, dating that young chick. Yeah. It was all fucked up.
Anyway, but hysterically funny.
So fast. Like lightning fast on his calls and shit.
Yeah, but some of those Patrice bits on that show were just fucking hysterical.
Oh, fantastic.
That Bobo, yeah. The Bobo laugh when Bobo was, hey, Bobo doing the up and down game.
I can't remember that
Patrice's
one.
Laugh.
Yeah.
It's, just search on that, Patrice's laugh, Anthony.
Yeah. They did some fucked up shit on that show. Who was that dude that they used to always get on and they'd fuck with, like they'd make him do fucked up shit?
Bobo, I think.
Was it Bobo? Or, no, the dude that, like he drank heaps of eggnog. Was that Bobo?
Oh,
someone drank like a fucking shitload of eggnog.
I really hate everywhere. Shock jock stuff. I fucking hate it.
Mm.
Shock jocking to me is embarrassing, but like the comedy guests were what was funny.
Yeah, because they just had like most shows that they go on, they'd have to censor themselves. But there, it's like, nah, come at it with more than you. They kind of even go over the top a bit.
Yeah, but I hate like stunts and like
yeah,
you know, fucking in the church and that type of shit. I was just like,
yeah, that was pretty dumb,
embarrassing. Like,
but it gets the media attention.
My mate was in New York and said that like their fans, those pests, were like the
worst.
They reeked. They were fucking ugliest reeking pieces of shit. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you can imagine.
And he saw him at a Louis C.K. gig or something.
Yeah,
there's an open net. He put a Louis C.K. gig on or something
right,
before he got
right.
big. You know.
Yeah, that was like Patrice saying that. Yeah, those fans would come along to shows and be like, "Oh, it's cold outside." Oh, it's raining men. They'd like call out shit from the show, and he's like, well, just shut the fuck up. Like, I'm trying to do my bits.
Yeah.
Fucking worst. That's, yeah.
But also, that show is an example of you do everything negative, you spread negativity with like these stunts, and
yeah,
you know, they were doing prank calls with people who lost a family member in a car accident, that type of shit.
Yeah.
Real bad shit.
Yeah.
And then it's all come back to them.
Oh, yeah. It comes back tenfold.
It's like,
the whole
like,
thing's a flaming garbage pile now. Yeah, there's nothing left of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucked.
So you created this army of psychos, this Reddit subreddit.
Yep.
And then they've ruined their lives. They've ruined Greg Hughes' life.
Yeah. Yeah, Greg Hughes, he's fucked now. Although he was in the Patrice doco. I did see him in that. Did you see him there?
He even semi-bombed in that.
Yeah, yeah. Poor cunt. He's got nothing going. I saw his freak out videos. He was like posting these videos to Joe Rogan on Instagram. And like,
how embarrassing.
Yeah, because he was supposed to go on Joe Rogan or something and Rogan never got back to him.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to like call him out on videos and shit. He just looks like a kid that's been fucking been put in the fucking naughty corner. It's fucked.
Well, Rogan feels a lot worse now after he's taken the money. Like the new set and everything looks a bit weird, you know.
It looks like a fucking Sith Lord cave. Like, what the fuck is he?
It's real dark and everything.
Yeah, I stopped listening to that shit a long time ago, man.
I only listen to clips of guys I like, you know, like scientists or whatever. But I mean, it feels like when he was like the Wild West for a while. Now he's taking the money. It feels like, oh,
yeah,
it's over. You know.
And I mean, good on him, man. $100 fucking million dollars.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming him, but
But yeah, you have to cop it. Like that's the trade off if you're gonna make it. Like you got to play a little bit by the rules.
Yeah,
because you're the biggest fucking podcast. Like you can't just be carrying on with your wild shit like you usually do. Like you had to do apologies for fucking saying certain things because it was just completely wrong.
If I was Spotify, I'd say, look, carry on with what you're doing. Whatever you want to say, there's no conspiracy fuckwits.
You don't like Alex Jones?
I hate Eddie Bravo worse.
Yeah, yeah. I do like listening to those episodes though. Like I was on a plane once listening to the fucking pedophile episode where Alex Jones is fucking carrying on about interdimensional pedophiles and shit. I'm just like, this is fucked.
He is entertaining, Jones.
Yeah. I watched some other video the other day. It was like Alex Jones rant done as a fucking indie song. Fucking hilarious. So good. I'll have to send it to you. It's fucking so funny. Ridiculous. Anyway, man, thanks for coming on. I think we'll wrap it up there because fucking I've got nothing else to talk about. Do you want to plug your podcasts?
Yeah, Andrew Paskin Podcast and the Rugby League Digest. Both of them have got some sick content.
Yeah, sick. I'll have to check them out. Do you do highlights or anything like that?
As in like clips and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on my YouTubes for both of them.
Awesome.
But I've got some really cool guests, some good comics, Katie Birch, Dave Boyle's a great episode of Andrew Paskin Podcast.
Awesome.
Mafia expert, JFK expert.
Yep.
Sort of interesting people.
We can do a swap cast if you want. You can put this out on your socials.
See how it comes out.
Yeah. See if it's shit first. You're like, nah, I don't want to put that out. Actually, sorry I didn't have the fucking gear set up. Like I said, my computer died in the ass. I've usually got the cameras going and
oh, really?
All that on there. Yeah, this is all usually fucking set up way better. But yeah, I went to turn it on this morning and it's fucking cactus.
So. I much prefer the audio.
Yeah.
I don't like a video pod.
I don't really mind. I usually listen to audio, but for the short clips and stuff that I've been doing, having video...
so important.
Yeah. People won't just listen.
Yeah.
They just won't.
You're 100% right with that. Yeah, so. It's a bit of a problem for me. I've just finally learned after hundreds of episodes of editing how to do a podcast to audio. Now I've got to learn video as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucked. And I'm usually sitting here trying to like swap between the cameras while I try and talk as well, which is fucking another thing to juggle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty bullshit. But it's getting there. Anyway, man, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
No worries.